Seven figures, six figures.
In terms of revenue to my one business, especially in foreign currency.
Seven figures.
In terms of a foreign currency, yes.
And you're doing this whilst you're living in South Africa.
Yes, in my parents' house.
In your parents' home. And you're 19.
Yeah.
And you failed high school twice.
I failed grades twice, but high school I failed many times.
Welcome back, everybody, to KZN Plus One. I am your host, Samuel Manyonda. And today, this is, I can already tell prior because of the conversation that I've had with this man before this podcast episode and the relationship that we're building, this is going to be the most exciting episode that you've seen on my show since I started. Today, I've got 19-year-old serial entrepreneur. Actually, sounds crazy to say that. Matthew Sparks. He has an insane story to tell, a crazy background, really, really in the ground dirt type of stuff. And Matt, bro, I'm so excited to have you on my show, my guy. I'm amazing, bro. How are you doing?
You know, if you're alive, you can't complain. Can't complain.
I love the perspective, dude. I mean, it was, you know, like even like how this conversation is happening now, it's so crazy how like the universe conspires situations in your favor. Basically, I'll tell the story of how we met. I have a really close friend of mine. Her name is Kirsten, and she's also my neighbor. We went to school together. Over the years, we became very close. Me and her family became very close. Absolutely love their family. My family loves their family. We've got a good relationship. And over the years, we've built a solid base of trust. Little did I know that she also knew you through, I think, her cousin or something like that. You had... Yeah. Had your things and your ambitions and your ideas going by that time already. And somewhere along the line, something happened where she had a conversation with you. And out of the blue, she said something like, oh, you, Matthew, really remind her of me. And
yeah,
you said something like, oh, you should introduce me to Samuel. And we began speaking. We realized we've got insanely similar interests. Our personalities are so aligned. And I think it's incredible that within a space of 72 hours, bro, I can genuinely say that meeting you has been the highlight of my Q1, and Q1 hasn't even been over. So I'm very honored to have you on this podcast, bro, and I'm excited for the conversation.
Honored to be here, bro. You know, like we've been saying, everything happens for a reason, and like I've been saying, if it's not supposed to happen, it's not gonna happen, you know? I mean, look at the amount of ideas we've jogged up, the amount of conversations, deep conversations we've had, how much we've opened up. You know, it's like these things don't just happen to everyone. You could have very easily been one of those people that you try to speak to them and they're just like, nah, go, I don't want to talk to you, you know. That's not the case with you, man. And yeah, I'm also grateful on my end, you know, always grateful.
I appreciate that, bro. I mean, Matt, you've got one hell of a story to tell. You know, like when we speak about business success, of course, this is an entrepreneur-based podcast. You know, like making a lot of money is a great ambition of a lot of entrepreneurs. But I'm always just interested in the story. I want to know the person. I want to know the baker behind the cake and where they started and how they got to the place that they are right now. So, you know, the floor's open. We've already set the premise. I know we're very open with each other. I would like for you to tell me how you got from, like, well, like, what type of kid were you growing up, first of all? And how do you think that led you to becoming the person that you are today? Like, and what is it that you actually do now?
So in terms of what type of person I was, I mean, geez, talkative, loud, this inquisitive kid that grew up with, I'd say, an amazing family of females, purely in, I lived in Extension 1 in Annandale, Joburg South, at my granny's house, and I can't even begin to explain that. I have a dad now, my stepfather, but my biological father, he left, I believe, when I was born. He left immediately when my life began. But you know, hearing all the stories that he came up with, because I'm a very light person, light in complexion person. And hearing when my granny used to tell me the stories of what he did and what he said, you know, to my mom and so forth, it made me realize that also, like you say, everything happens for a reason. Like the father I have today, I'm more than grateful for. Like, I'll be honest, a lot, he's the person who told me going to computers, and I was like, nah, computers, no.
Yeah.
And a few years later, he literally told me, now you want to do it. Like, now you want to. I mean, he's, and I've always said, his hard work and dedication is my motivation. I always say it. In terms of my mom, the strength is like also just immaculate. My aunt, the one that came a few minutes ago, her and my granny all just represent strength to me. And as a kid, I'd say that's one thing that I knew that I had, but I didn't know I had. I was bullied in school. I was a short guy, big head, never grew all my nose yet, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I was always told, I was that kid that was always active, competitive nature. Schooling wise, I mean, you know already, schooling wise, it wasn't it, man. Like, yep. For me, it wasn't it. And I guess we moved to the West Rand for my parents wanted a better future for myself and my brother. When we moved here in 2016, I started high school then. Failed high school twice. And yeah, I guess from then it was a roller coaster. Like,
what happened? What was the conversation like in your home when like you probably got the news before anybody else, right? Like you knew, like, I fucked up, I failed. What was the conversation like at home when that became like something that you talked about?
The first time I failed was my first year of grade 9. And I remember my mom getting the phone call a day before report day, a few days before report day, I think. And she was crying, but like, I don't know why you're crying. Like, so I'm panicking. I remember she was in her room and I walk in and my mother's like, sit down. I was like, okay, sit down. And people told me, as my people, as in my very close circle, my mother, my auntie, so forth, told me, look, man, you're gonna fail. Continue this, you're gonna fail. I was like, ah, I'm then passing a test now and again. So to me, now and again, passing a test was enough.
Yeah.
And I guess there was a stage where I did well at school, but my head wasn't there. But that day, my mom, she called me and she told me, look, you failed. But she's crying, she's in tears.
Yeah.
And you know, during that year, I remember they drug tested me. They thought I was not going to school at all. They, you know, it's a downward spiral, you know?
Yeah.
I remember looking at that drug test being like, crystal meth, cat, like really?
Anyway, I feel you.
Yeah, and just seeing how it broke her, and knowing that my dad, physically he's not my dad, and my granny made me realize this. Physically, he treats me like I'm his own, and knowing that in one That's year amazing. I've missed, in practically I've wasted 40 grand of his money. And knowing that I wasted 24,000 rand in 1 year, it hurt me. And yeah, I guess went into the new year, tried new things, passed. Grade 10 came, same situation. Mom broke down, first year of grade 10. And you know when you see people that were behind you, long past you, it's like,
yeah.
And I guess, yeah, since then, people have just, especially my family, thought I'm trying to play the catch-up game.
Yeah.
Which is, in case, it's just, you know, you can't control where your mind is at.
At that time.
Yeah, you just can't control, you don't want to be there.
Yeah.
And it took a long time for them to understand that. I still don't think they understand that I don't like education.
And like, just to clarify on that, we actually had a chat about this when, you know, when we're talking about how, like, you are absolutely the scapegoat for what the brand of this podcast is, which is, I want to bring to South Africa, to Africa and to the world, examples of people who were told that they were never going to do anything in life and then went on and actually did what they wanted to do. Not only made a stupid amount of money, but they were fulfilled. They were driven. They were motivated to achieve something. And, you know, we were talking just now about when you said, you know, education isn't something that's important for you. And I said, you know, like, if you're just looking at the word education, I always say education is the most important thing in the world. I just don't believe that means school and university. And the way that it's been branded in our world brings so many limited options in the minds of people who are so young, who are meant to spend their life just exploring and finding themselves, and puts them in this box where they feel like they can't do anything outside of a teacher's advice, a parent's advice. And, you know, that's something that I'm very passionate about. So, like, I'm shaking in my boots just having this conversation right now, bro. I think it's so important.
You know, for me, it's just like education is a thing of... And I'll always say it, education is a if but the maybe situation. A guy I used to watch on YouTube, Frenzy A. He makes those crazy rhymes and poems about, you know, important things going on in the world. And in terms of education, it links so much to what happened to me in school, where, for example, you can be born to cure cancer. That can be your pure cut in life, is you're supposed to cure the sick. And because you fill this one big natural science paper or physics paper, now you're like, I don't want science anymore because I failed. And now, because you've done that, not only are you overlooking what God has set out for you to do on earth or what your purpose is on earth, but now you're like gonna be like, okay, I'm rather gonna go become a banker, I'm rather gonna go become a salesman, because you know, my teacher said I can't, so I'm not gonna.
Something that you don't even like. Exactly.
Okay. I mean, think about it this way. How many of us wanted to become soccer players when we were born?
I mean, not a
lot. People in SA only, they provide to you the amount of resources to keep you in the country.
Yeah.
Same with education. Education provides you, it's a circle. You're taught to go to school. You're taught to go to a 9-to-5. You thought to have one break during the day. What does the same thing? An office job. You go from there to learn more, from there to work for someone to pay you to love, and then from there you die.
And that's supposed to be your life, and you're supposed to be happy with that.
That's just what I guess people, they make life seem like. There's just this block, and that's what school does. That's why I say it's an if, but, or maybe situation, because school makes it seem like there's just this block in front of you that you can't push over.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you could jump over the block. You could under the block. You could go a different route.
You know what's funny about school? They put a block in front of you and they say, We want you to get over the block. It's 100 meters high. We want you to get over the block, but we want you to jump over it. And we want you to jump over it the way that we taught you. But this block is 100 meters. But I'm 7 meters tall. The other person is 90 meters tall. Like, they don't think about, like, people don't think about, okay, I can maybe develop a tool to help me get through, or I can do X, Y, Z. You know, like different options like that. And I just think there's been so much, I really want to highlight the conversation on, there's been so much limited thinking instilled in young people. And I think, and I'll be real with you, that excites me, because the reality of the new world that we're now stepping into, where, you know, at the very least, people who didn't believe can come and watch a show like this, or can come and see the reality of the world we're stepping into, with social becoming, NFTs becoming metaverse, And just look at that manifestation and use that as a source of hope that they can actually do something. And I think, you know, with the whole NFT thing, everything from from artists to teachers to medical doctors. I mean, it's gonna take over our lives, and I want to get to that place. But I want to first ask you this question: what was? It's like two questions in one. What was probably the toughest moment in your high school experience, and what was the moment right before your first like really big breakthrough that put you in a completely different mind space?
In terms of my toughest moment in high school, was when I came to the realization that it's not for me. But having parents, obviously, that's been through, you know, the tough era of South Africa's rise. It's what they know, and they come from a good place when they do this. But what they know is you finish school, you get a matric, you go to university, and knowing that I've wasted so much time, I've wasted so much resources. And I guess that for me, it broke me to an extent where I put on this smile, this very huge smile. But there were nights where, hey, and it's going to sound bad to say, I guess, but there were nights where I would lay, and I can send you notes that I made on my notepad where 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I'm saying to myself, like, I'm typing notes out nights after I wanted to do things to myself. I wanted to, you know, and reading back that is, I guess, what high school did to me. And the worst thing it did to me was it broke me. And yes, it doesn't break everyone. People are excited to go to high school and be with their friends. And that's what high school should be about, you know, party life, your friends. Mm. Parents do not goes on inside high school, bro.
For sure. And I understand I understand what it means to be in that place, bro. I really, really do. Yeah. 8 and 9 were my darkest years.
Nah, you know what? It's just, I guess because everyone's gone through it, they think everyone's experience is the same. But it's not. And yeah, it's just, I'd say the worst part of high school is just when I realized it's not for me and it's broken me.
And I think when you say something like that on this show, we also have a responsibility to preface it with, we're not trying to horrify the 11 to 12 year olds and the 10 year olds who and paint like high school as a terrible thing. I think the basic message of what we're trying to say is self-awareness is extremely important, and figuring out what works for you, regardless and outside of what everybody else says, will be the most valuable thing in your high school experience.
Like you're saying, I don't want no one to like stop going to school after watching this, for sure. But like, if it's not for you and you're afraid that it's not for you, but you don't want to open up about it, so you decide to rather become upset, depressed, waste your parents' money, get up and prove them wrong. That's why I get up every day. That's why I still have a actual job. Every day is because...
When you don't need to, by the way. Like, financially, you're in a position where you don't need to do
it. I don't. But...
And I think that leads me to the next question, which was... What was the moment before your eureka moment? Was it a good moment? Was it a bad moment? What, like, sort of kick-started you into getting into the first thing that really picked up a lot of moss?
But I'll be honest with you, it was trying to make, trying to fix myself and prove everyone else wrong. I'd say that was the main thing that pushed me to say, you know what, okay, you failed at school, you're broken now. Self-proclaimably, I am broken. In my head, I'm telling myself, all you've done is fail. All you've done is fail. How are you going to succeed in the real world? And I guess it was a downward spiral that showed me that, look, man, if you're not going to start now, you're never going to start.
Yeah.
You know, it's like people that say, I'm going to go to the gym next week. I'm going to go to the gym the week after. I'm going to go, you know. Why not just get up and do it now? And that's also something my father brands in my head. Do it now.
Yeah.
Don't wait. You don't know what's going to happen if you wait. Tomorrow isn't promised. The next hour isn't promised, if we're honest with each other.
do it now.
I feel, yeah, it was a downward spiral, man. To answer your question in layman's terms, not a lot of people know it, but it was a downward spiral after being told to my face, you are never going to go into this. You are never going to do it. You're never going to accomplish it. You're never going to be Bill Gates or Mark Zuckerberg. Or
yeah.
I kind of took it as a challenge, and till today I'm trying to prove them wrong.
And right now, like of course, like you're completely at your full consent to keep that specific number to yourself. Like now at 19 years old, I think it's incredible to say that you've hit like what, 7 figures, 6 figures
in terms of revenue to my one business, especially in a foreign currency. I won't mention a lot.
Okay, but 7 figures.
In terms of a foreign currency, yes.
And you're doing this whilst you're living in South Africa?
Yes, in my parents' room, in my parents' house.
In your parents' home? And yeah. And you're 19?
Yeah.
And you failed high school twice?
I failed grades twice, but high school I failed many times.
Even better for the crescendo of the story that I want to tell. And your family members wrote you off, a lot of them.
Yeah, it's gonna sound wrong. No, teachers for sure. Look, I have my fair share in things I did wrong to both my family and teachers. But what are you supposed to do when you have a blindfold on and you're walking in a What are you supposed to do when you have a blindfold on and you're walking on a downhill with sticks on the ground?
I feel that.
It's what it is. You're going to fall. And the people that I'd say I love the most, they wrote me off. Yo, I was kicked out the house, bro. I remember a huge fight I had with my mom, kicked out the house. And I only after a while, after realizing, look, okay, you're hurting people. By not doing what you know you want to do, you are hurting people. Just do it.
Yeah.
I guess when I done it, I became a better person, not only to myself, but to them as well.
That's a beautiful story, bro.
Yeah, nice. Long story, bro. Yo, took months. Months.
Sure. I'm sure. And I mean, you still came out of it strong, bro. I just think you're just a testament to somebody who's still standing, and that's incredible. So, like, since you went on this journey, what industries have you been involved in, and like in those industries, what is it that's been the most exciting to you?
Technology.
Go deeper into that, like go into specifics.
In terms of technology, when I dropped out of high school, I taught myself how to code. First thing I did. And the first business I started failed, didn't go anywhere. And then after a few months, I decided, I know how to code. Push it. And that's when I went on to places like Fiverr, built a few websites. They realized you can make money with this.
Were you making websites with HTML?
HTML, CSS, Java, JavaScript, and C.
You know what's funny about that story? I did that for, I think, the last maybe 6 to 8 months of my high school experience. I was making websites for people off of what I had learned coding on YouTube.
I mean, YouTube's what you need.
That's YouTube University. I always say this. I genuinely believe I am YouTube University's number one student. And I will do everything in my power to stay there.
I mean, keep your position, bro. Keep your position.
Yeah, you can go on.
I've been in a few different, a lot. Gardening. I worked with one of my closest friends, Fubio, when COVID just started. And one of our friends, we all used to be close to Nate. And we were sanitizing, like, factory. And we used to, from the sanitizer being in big containers, put it in small 5-liter containers, 20-liter containers, you know, ship it out, not like ship it, but put it on a truck, yeah, empty it like 20,000 bottles off trucks.
Crazy.
Like no shit, like 20,000 bottles of trucks. We did that for about 2 weeks, long nights.
Yeah.
So in terms of where I've been, car washing, I had businesses with car wash, with cleaning gardens, geez. I worked in a few places.
Mm-hmm.
I did a day trading. I've tried almost every modern thing to that. I can say I've dabbled in a few different places at my young age. It's a privilege, but I failed.
Mm.
And almost all of them failed, for sure.
Almost all of them, yeah. Mm.
Almost.
I think that's an interesting story to tell for somebody who has seen so much success at your age. It's like most people think the road in business success is just like this. I remember like only now I'm starting to get some gains in my dropshipping business, but I remember doing this stuff for about a year and first time wasting so much money in the beginning, bro. Just learning ad platforms, learning the ins and outs of the business, wasting money on fulfillment, sending out broken product, you know. And then you do it again and you fail again, and then you do it again and you fail again, and then you refine it, and, you know, you just keep going.
You need to fail, you know. I feel like also a place where I learned a lot of discipline was when I was playing rugby. Because within playing rugby, I was someone who was the smallest on the team.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're going against these massive guys.
Yeah.
But multiple times after the game, my coach would come and say, you smashed him.
Crazy.
Multiple times after the game, players would come and say, that player, and him, they to look out for, you know. And yeah, I'd say that to me, that no matter how big the challenge physically and literally how, no matter how big the challenge is, like my dad always says, there's multiple ways to skin a cat. There's multiple ways to skin a cat. It's just about when you're going to get outside that box that you trapped in, that comfort zone that you're in. And yeah, once you're out, I mean, dude, the world's your oyster. Let's just be honest, the world's your oyster.
You helped me realize that today on the conversation that we had before this podcast in a completely different light, bro. Like, you know, people say these things all the time. And I've heard a lot of people who say like what you said to me and my business partner before this, where like it sounds catchy and it sounds cliche. You get to a point of understanding why it's cliche. A lot of these things are just truths and they work. That's why, yeah, people who are there actually say that.
Yeah.
It just opened my mind, bro. Crazy ways.
I know. In terms of how I got here, you know, there's two very... I'll never keep them out. There's really, really two very important people that kept me on my feet. I think even to them, it's unknowingly. Mm-hmm. And that's my two cousins, Dane and Chad.
Okay.
I'm the youngest of the three. We're the three eldest guys in our family.
Mm-hmm.
So we start together since day one.
Yeah.
And they are, till today, they are the people that I see them every 2 to 3 weeks. We go out, we have fun. We remember that even though we're studying, we're working, there is still life, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So a place that you must go to have fun. And yeah, I guess they are, be very honest with you, the main rock that kept me alive. In terms of going, moving forward, not going down that gutter of sitting on the corner and smoking weed. Not that that's wrong, but it is wrong.
I was there too, bro. I spent a second there.
You know, to admit it publicly on a platform, I'd say a lot of people are there now. I feel like that's what high school does.
Yeah.
And yeah, we were there, and those two people pushed me out, bro. Till today, we call each other. Day in,
I really
day
get
out.
You when you say that, bro. I've got my brother Matthew. I was in grade 9, bro. When after being in grade 8, and also grade 9, after being everybody's stepping mat, and I was the guy who you had mud on your shoes. I was the mat you'd come and clean them off. You'd ask me to jump, but I'd tell you how high. And my brother Matthew, and I can't even call him my best friend. It's my brother. He really took me in, you know. He took me in like a. He didn't even take me in like a little bro. He had that status. That status. He was like a cool guy. So like he took me under his wing, and everywhere we went, he introduced me as that guy. I just started building up the self belief in myself as that guy. Started listening to a lot of Kanye. Started watching a lot of Kanye, and I was like, I remember my first reaction to a Kanye West interview was, nobody told me you were allowed to be this confident. And I use that as the scapegoat to everything else that I do. And it's led me to so much like curiosity and sheltering in that process. But I feel you when you say that, bro. Matthew's my guy. He got me to that place.
I mean, we all need those type of people, bro, you know. And in terms of what we're doing now, they're both doing huge things. Chad was always the smart. I mean, when we were young, we wanted to be soccer players. He wanted to be an accountant. Shockingly, now his girlfriend's gonna become a chartered accountant. In terms of Dane, Chad is studying law now. Dane is going into project management.
Okay.
You know, in terms of where they were and where they are now as well, and you know, you can only say thank you, bro. You can only say thank you.
Right.
Genuinely.
Yeah.
If I could buy them a star, I'd buy them a star. No joke, bro. You can only say thank you to how much time and effort they put into making sure that you're still the person you were when you were at the bottom.
Yeah, yeah. Those relationships are so important, man.